Patty Peterson made a quilt, and she wanted to give it to one of the veterans' families today. And so we just want to present this to you, Bob, as a gift. Bless you.
It'll hang on my wall.
There you go. Amen. It is a beautiful quilt. He said he'd hang it on his wall. So Frankie, make space. Amen. What a wonderful day. Powerful day. If you felt the presence of God. You know, the thought kept going through my mind. What an honor and a thrill it is to use His name. Do you realize when He told us that we could use His name, it meant we could reach into the depth and the riches of heaven and use the authority of the name of Christ. That's powerful, folks. You know, as we were studying in Sunday school, when God came to Abraham, and it's right at the pretty much the last time, and He says, okay, now this time next year you'll have a child. He'd been telling him that for 25 years. 25 years he'd been telling him he was going to have a baby. And so the year before, He said, you're going to conceive a baby. This time next year, you'll be rocking your son. And Sarah laughed. Said she laughed privately to herself. And God looked at Abraham and He said, is anything too hard for God? Man, that hit me today in Sunday school. And as I was worshiping the Lord, I felt like I'm supposed to bring that word to you today. Folks, don't rule Him out just because it's been a little while. I'm telling you, God is not the God of one thing. God is the God of all things, right? So He can take care of you spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. I'm telling you, He wants to minister to the whole part. So I really want you to think for just a moment. Where have I believed that God is not enough in my life? Where have I said, well, God, I know You're wonderful. I know You're good. I know You're faithful. But I just don't believe You can do this one. Would you surrender that to the Lord? Would you just say, God, I give You opportunity. Like the guy wanting prayer for his son, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. See, I believe that's where every one of us reside. I believe everyone resides in this spirit of faith, but we're always being challenged by this unbelief and this doubt that just hits us constantly. It's the fiery darts, right, that Satan is always throwing at you. And I just really feel by the Spirit that we're supposed to surrender that and say, God, I know Your word is true. I know Your word. I know You are faithful. And You told Timothy that even when I'm faithless, You will be faithful because You cannot deny Yourself. I don't know what is impossible or seems impossible in your life right now, but I just come to sow a seed. It's not impossible with God. Lots of things impossible with man, but not with God. Father God, I just lift up this congregation to You right now, Lord. Father, I have spoken that word that I thought You put on my heart, and I pray, Lord, right now that we surrender our doubts to the Lord. Father, we're not bad people because we doubt. We're just people. But we ask You to forgive us of that doubt because that doubt is evil. It's an evil heart of unbelief. So, Father, we surrender that to You. And I pray right now, Lord, let that faith arise in our heart, Father. Whether that would be for healing, Lord, whether it be for relationship repairment. Father, whatever that is, whether that is for salvation, Lord, I pray right now, let faith arise. Let faith arise in Jesus' name. Let us stand on the side of right. Let us stand on the side of Christ. Let us use His word and use His name to proclaim the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful, Lord, You revealed that Your arm is not short. You are still able to reach down to man. And I'm asking you right now, Lord, reach down and touch the impossible things of our heart. Those things that we have deemed to be impossible, I ask you, Lord, to touch them right now, to begin to work by your miraculous power and do the impossible in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Just have a few verses today. We're going to start at verse 32, and we're going to talk about transitions can be difficult to stay in unity. Transitions can be difficult. Anybody think that might be a timely sermon? Let me just say this. Don't let the world tear you out of unity. Don't let politics tear you out of unity. We are called to love each other, even those that we disagree with. I'm telling you, I think Satan's doing his dead level best to try to divide the church. I really do. I think he's trying to divide America, but I really believe he's going after the church. I'm not going to let it happen. Would you say with me, I will stay in love.
Stay in love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So Acts chapter 15 verse 32 says, now Judas and Silas themselves being prophets also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. What does that mean? It means they were preachers. They had many words. So I've come from a good source. After they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily, strengthening the churches. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. I believe, Lord, you have something specific to say to the body of Christ today. Lord, I just ask for your anointing upon our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Judas and Silas, it says, were prophets. They were strengthening and encouraging the body of Christ. They didn't have the telecommunications that we have today. Nobody had a cell phone in their pocket, right? So they said, hey, we need to report the good things that God is doing here at Antioch. We need to report that back to Jerusalem because they will be encouraged when they find out what the good things God is doing over here in Antioch. So Judas and Silas begin to say, okay, let's go on home. But Silas felt in his heart, I'm not supposed to go with you. I'm supposed to stay here in Antioch. I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to be right here. We know why, right? The end of the story. But he didn't know it, but he leaned upon the Spirit more than his natural wisdom, and he was trying to obey the Spirit of God. So Paul goes to Barnabas. That was the team, the missionary team. He goes to him and he says, hey, I think we're supposed to go back and let's revisit all the churches that we've been to and let's see how they're doing. Let's encourage them with the second missionary journey. Barnabas said, I think that's a wonderful idea. I'll go tell John Mark to pack his bags. And Paul said, well, you can tell him to pack his bags, all right, but he ain't going with us. And there arose a dispute among two of the most godly men. It wasn't over the color of the carpet. You ever wonder why we just have concrete in our floors? I'm telling you, there will be times when Satan will try to get into the very relationships that you hold dear. My brother sent me a joke video this week, and this British man and wife was standing in line at the bank, and they and she was giving him the what for. And I know a lot of you husbands don't know what that is. If you've been married over 3 months, you know probably. And she's reading him the riot act. I mean, and all of a sudden thieves break in with guns and they grab his wife and they said, "If anybody moves, this woman's getting it." And that husband's like this. I thought that was funny. Treva didn't find as much humor in it as I did. Problems come. We're not exempt from problems, are we? And so the thing about it is when we know the end of this story, but I want you to live through this for just a moment today, what it was like to see people that you respect in the body of Christ not agreeing, not getting along. Sharp words were being spoken. Now, what do I believe that this was God's will, what he accomplished? But the way it came about, I don't believe was God's will. I believe God was dividing and conquering. He was going to start a second team of missionaries, but he wasn't going to start it with a sharp dispute. I don't believe it was supposed to go that way, but guess what? Paul and Barnabas was human beings just like you. We tend to elevate people as we read about them in the Bible, and we think, oh my goodness, I wish I was like Paul. Well, you are. He was as mouthy as you are. I mean, they didn't exchange hits or nothing, but they got in a sharp disagreement. Now, towards the end of Paul's life, Barnabas takes John Mark just like he thought he was supposed to, and he goes and he begins to mentor this young man, and Paul takes Silas. Why did Silas stay in Antioch? Because God knew he was supposed to go with Paul. He did not know that. All he knew is, I feel like I'm not supposed to go back with you, Judas. I think I'm supposed to stay right here. He was supposed to stay right there because he's getting ready to go with Paul. And for the rest of Acts, we're not going to read about Barnabas anymore. We're going to read about Paul and Silas. But towards the end of Paul's life, when he's in jail, he says this very great statement. He says, by the way, send John Mark to me because he's profitable for my ministry. Why is he profitable for the ministry of Paul at the end of his life? Because of Barnabas. Because Barnabas took time to take a young man and develop him for the kingdom. I'm telling you, we are missing something in the body of Christ. And it's called mentoring. It's called coaching. It's called coming alongside. When Roy prayed, he called the Holy Spirit the Parakletos, which means the one who has your back. The Holy Spirit comes alongside, but he's not supposed to be there by himself. See, the body of Christ is supposed to come alongside too. And when people are hurting and people have needs, they don't need the body of Christ to stand in ignorance away. Even if you don't know what to say, don't leave the game. People are hurting in our society. Mark Sprague, Judy's in the hospital. She got sick about a month ago. They're coming home Monday. She's coming home under hospice care. The doctor says she probably has 2 weeks to live. They've been married 42 years. I'm telling you, there's a couple in our body that are hurting. And many of us would say, well, I just don't know what to say. I'm going to tell you something. I face that every day. Every day as I talk to people, I think, I don't know what to say. Nobody taught me that in one of these classes that I've taken. Nobody told me what to say. I'm so thankful I can rely upon the Holy Ghost. And when you can't say anything at all, you can at least walk in love. You can just say, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. There's no greater statement than that. Many of the problems that we face in life are outside. Sometimes the problems are inside. I don't know if you've ever been through church problems, but it's some of the worst problems. It's like going through a divorce. I'm telling you, it just breaks your heart when you see. Now, when people leave the body because they're mad, it just ought not be. I'm not saying God might not lead you out. God may say, hey, it's time for you to go over here to this other church and you're needed over there. And if we do that correctly, we leave in love. And we say, God bless you. We'll be praying for you. Continue your work. But when we leave angry, when we leave in a bad spirit, that's a black eye to the kingdom. Right? In John chapter 15, Jesus prays for his disciples. He knew the human side of those jokers. He says, I don't pray that you should take them out of the world. And man, every time I read that, I think, no, Jesus, come on. Just take me home. Beam me up, Scotty. You know, I just want out of here sometimes, right? And he says, I don't pray, Father, that you take them out of the world. Just as I'm not of the world, sanctify them. No, I'm sorry, I skipped one. He says that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Amen. Keep us from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And then drop down to verse 20. He says, and I don't pray for these alone. Have you ever wondered if Jesus prayed for you? Here it is. He's praying for you even now. But also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Four things that Jesus prayed for his disciples, that he prayed for us. Number one, don't take them out of the world. We're not to be of the world, but we're to be in the world. Part of the problem of the church today, yeah, if you don't mind, having some voice problems. You got anything stronger? Part of the problem today with the church is we're too connected with the world. And I believe the Lord still wants to be us to be separate from the world. He says, I don't ask that you take them out of this. How are we going to affect the world? How are we going to bring the world to Christ if we all leave? And we are all leaving one day. Thank you, Lord. Number two, he says, keep them from the evil one. You know, that's part of the model prayer that Jesus prayed when he was teaching his disciples. He said, lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from the evil one, or deliver them from evil. You know, I found one day, as I was praying, I thought, you know, I don't pray that. That needs to be a part of my daily prayer. You know, I've told you before, Satan has a plan for your life. He has traps for you. There are literally landmines out there that Satan has to take you out of the game. And most of us are not praying, God, keep me from that. See, when we pray is after we've landed in the landmine. After we've got a foot blowed off, then we start praying, oh, God, heal me. Well, why not pray before we get there? God, deliver me from the evil one. Why not pray that for our kids over here? God, keep them. Lord, I've made so many mistakes in my life. Lord, keep them from the evil one. I believe in the ministry of the youth and Chi Alpha because we have an opportunity to catch these kids before Satan gets a hold of them. I think that's very wise. Before they go through divorce, before they go through all the heartache of this life, we have a chance to pour Christ in. Let's take that chance. The third thing he prayed, I'm telling you, sometimes the things that Jesus prayed are not the same things that I pray. But he prayed, Lord, that they may be one. That they may be one. John said that they're going to know us by the love that we have towards each other. So what does Satan do? He starts dividing the church immediately. There are 42,000 denominations in the world today. I think Satan's done a pretty good job, but I'm not giving him a hand. The thing that Jesus said, I want them to be one like you and I are one. Remember Jesus? He said, I don't even speak a word that you don't put on my heart. I don't do anything that you're not leading and guiding me to do. Come on. Do I love you enough to keep my mouth shut? And do I love you enough to open my mouth when I need to? And do I love you enough to know the difference? Right? The color of the carpet is not a good reason to get mad at church. Jesus is so wise. We are in a major transition right now as we are sitting in the gym with each other. We're in a major transition. I'm not preaching this sermon because of that, but I don't think it's totally odd that as I preach through the Word of God, I get to the part where they have a sharp dispute on the second week of our transition. I didn't plan it, but I got a feeling he did. And there will be things that happen in this church that you will not agree with. Let me just be honest. There are things that happen in this church that I don't agree with. I'm the pastor, and I'm like, oh, man. 6 months ago, I brought to the board, hey, I think maybe it'd be a good idea if we do the sanctuary and change it and let's remodel this thing. We can hold several more. They just didn't feel like that was the time of God. They said, no, we need to get one building done before we start a second one. I thought that's really wise. And so I just waited. I didn't think they'd ever come back around to it. I'm thankful there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. There's wisdom on the board with the elders and the deacons. So I brought this up 3 weeks ago, wasn't it? And they said, well, are we going to hire a contractor? I mean, they're like on board. They're just totally different. Just like, okay, let's do it. And I'm like, what? Are you guys the same people? And so we didn't know who he's going to hire. At the end of the meeting, Dale comes up to me and he says, you know, have you ever thought about this guy? And I said, no, I didn't even know he was in construction. The guy, we talked to him and he could start the next week. That's a miracle, folks. So I'm telling you, sometimes we just have to learn to be quiet. Somebody had the choice, Paul or Barnabas, to zip it. But they didn't. Don't you think about your own marriage? Man, I wish there's some times in my life when I would have zipped it. My wife has a memory. Oh, my Lord. She can tell you things that I said our first year of marriage. And I wish I had the wisdom that I at 19 that I have today. Not saying I'm all wise, but I said some things early on in our marriage that if I could go back and say, let's erase that from your memory bank, I sure would. I don't know about you. I got three spankings going through school in my life. I know you can't imagine that. The angel that I am. Every spanking that I ever got was for talking. Can you imagine that? That's right. But I was a joke teller. I loved to tell jokes. And some of the teachers did not appreciate my sense of humor. You know, it's still true today. Most of my problems are caused by my mouth. Right? I speak my own problems. I say things when I shouldn't say them. So if you think I'm just preaching to you and you alone, you're really missing this. But unity is more important than Eric getting his way. Unity is more important than you getting your way. How are they going to know that we are Christians? By the love that we have towards each other. Love is not an emotion. Love is a decision. So in the heat of the battle, wouldn't it have made an interesting way in the scripture if Barnabas had held his tongue? I could say Paul, but I don't even have that much faith. If it was going to happen, it would probably happen through Barnabas, the encourager. But he had to speak his mind. He had to get it out. And there was a sharp dispute. And I believe, I don't know, this is not in scripture, but I believe there probably was animosity there. There probably was some hurtful words spoken. Because that's usually what happens. But they unified later on. They came back together. And John Mark was able to help. And the last thing he told them, Jesus told his disciples, that the world may believe in Jesus. That's what life is all about. You as a believer, you hear me? This is the greatest calling in the world, is that we may show the world Jesus. Are you willing to hold your tongue? Are you willing not to get your two cents in? Are you willing not to give them a piece of your mind? Are you willing to walk in love when the other party doesn't deserve it? When the waitress gives you bad service, will you treat her kindly? Will you love her? You get it? You following me? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Paul is speaking. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. See, I think if we just wrapped our mind around those three words, a prisoner of the Lord, I think it would totally change our mind. I'm not doing my own thing. Treva and I went to a meeting yesterday and about forming a coalition to help the drug problem in the city. And we met a couple of guys from Hole in Wall. They were friends through since second grade, but in high school, or right after high school, they divided. Because one of them accepted Christ, and the other guy, they called him Stick, he decided not to. He went to church with his buddy. He felt the Holy Spirit move upon him, calling him to salvation. But he said, I said no. I got too much living to do. I'm telling you this, that when you say no to the Holy Ghost, you're saying yes to Satan. We don't realize that. But we're saying, no, I want to do it my way, which my way is usually the devil's way. And so for the next 35 years, this guy suffered from drugs and alcohol. Up and down, three times in prison. Finally gave his heart to Jesus. He is not the same man. One person said, sometimes I think people have a hard time believing that God can forgive them. The Spirit of God spoke to me just like that when she said that. She said, they don't have a hard time believing that I can forgive them. They have a hard time believing I can redeem them. I don't care what pit you're in right now. Jesus can redeem you from the pit of despair. He can go down to the lowest of the low and bring you out. I'm so thankful I serve a God of possibilities. He is able. He said, a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering and bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, there it is again. Philippians 2, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. What was it? It was a mind of humility. He's calling us to fulfill the calling. Had an interesting conversation with a young man this week. He said, well, you're anointed, but I am not. He's a born again believer. And I said, oh, you are so wrong. You are just as anointed as I am. I want you to, anointed means to rub in. We anoint each other with suntan lotion, right? We rub that lotion in. That's the, and God rubs his power and his presence into our life. That's the anointing. See, when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes within you. The Spirit of God has anointed you. You read his word is anointed. So when you combine the Spirit with the Word, you put them together, you say, in him I live and move and have my being. I am just as anointed as Christ was as I speak the word of Christ. Why? It's not you. It's him in you. That's the hope of glory. So don't buy into the lie that some are anointed and some are not. If you are saved, if you have surrendered, I'm not saying perfected. I'm saying if you are born again, you are anointed by God to do something. Now, we've all been called to different things. I come kicking and screaming. I don't know about you. Last thing I wanted to do in earth was to pastor a church. And only God knew that would be my fullness of joy. So I thought that. I fought it for about 30 years. 20 years, I guess. But when I surrendered, man, God has blessed my life. God has blessed me as I surrendered my life to him. What is our calling? Our 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we all know verse 17, that we're new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, all things are new. And then he begins to switch, not really switch, but move on. He says, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Acts 26, 18 says that we are called to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan. Stick, you hear that? God turns you from the power of Satan to the power of God and receive forgiveness of your sin. You wonder what you're called to do? That's what you're called to do. You're called to be an ambassador for Christ. It's not about you. It's all about him. Now let us walk worthy of that calling. You remember thinking when you were young, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What do you want out of me, God? You know, what do you want me to do? God, what is my calling? I just told you what your calling is. See, every one of us in this place, there are no exceptions and no exemptions. You hear me? Every one of us are called to be an ambassador of Christ. Now, our ambassadors of the United States are citizens of the United States, but they're living elsewhere in the world. But that part of the world does not provide for them. The United States is their provider. Wherever they're at in the world, the United States still provides for that ambassador. And they speak on behalf of the United States. And their safety where the ambassador is. If you're in a foreign country and bad things start to happen, you run to the ambassador of the United States. You are an ambassador of God. Are you following me? He is your provider. Doesn't matter how things look. This world is not your provider, nor is your job your provider. He is your provider. And you are representing God on earth. You are his mouthpiece. You are his hands extended. When you hug somebody in the love of Christ, it's more than just you. It's Jesus hugging someone through you. Now, Paul said, I want you to walk worthy of that. What in the world does that mean? Understand that's a calling, a high calling of God. And it's more about him than it is about you. And he said, I want you to walk in lowliness. In other words, walk in humility. Recognize that it is him in us. Thank God. You know, I love this statement. When you minister to somebody or you see somebody that's really caught up in sin, your judgment does not help one iota. It actually pushes them away. But the attitude of humility, there go I, except by the grace of God. I've heard Tony Elkins say many, many times, he worked at the police force for 34 years. He said, it was only the grace of God that I was driving the car and not riding in the back seat. But that's the kind of cops we have. He recognized that it was the goodness of God on his life. Man, sometimes the longer you live for God, you forget what a creep you used to be. There are no good people in this building. There are righteous people in this building because of Jesus. So we walk in lowliness of mind. We walk in humility, the same thing that Micah told us in 6:8. We walk in gentleness. You know, I find that sometimes is missing, especially from the ministry. Am I gentle? You know, sometimes the Bible talks about the word breaks up. It can break a rock, right? The word of God can break. But I think God has called us to use the word to heal. You know, there's more than one knife out there. There's great big knives. You don't take a great big knife into the surgery room. You take a scalpel. Something where there can be precision. The word of God needs precision so that we can cut out. Great Sunday school class today. I teach the 20-year-olds, and we got to talk about circumcision today. It was so wonderful. Oh, it's just one of those highlights as a pastor that you get to talk about circumcision. And so we talked about, what does that really mean? You know, we still believe in circumcision. We just believe that today circumcision is of the heart. He's still cutting away the flesh. And everybody should have said, thank you, Jesus. Because there's lots of flesh that I need cut away, right? Am I gentle when I use the word? Am I gentle to love people? I don't know if you've ever heard of spiritual abuse. It's a term that I've just heard probably in the last 20 years where men of God actually abuse people with the word of God. Isn't that sad? The very thing that's supposed to unite us, that's supposed to cause love and unity, sometimes when the flesh gets involved, we use it to beat up people rather than to heal people. My goodness, that's called flesh. We are to have long suffering. That's suffering long. It's patience. It's a restraint of anger that you will not give up on someone, that you're willing to wait, that I'm willing to pray even after the first, second, or third time of sharing the gospel with them. I'm still believing God for you. I'm willing to suffer long. We are to bear with one another in love. I don't always get my way, but love is more important. I think the best way to describe love is to say love is sacrifice. What am I willing to lay down for those I love? And we are to keep the unity of the Spirit in peace. It's a mutual dependence, not only on God, but on one another. Do you know that? Do you know I need you? I need you. For what God has called me to do, I need you. You may need me, but I need you also. We're a team. You hear me? If you think that I can transform Henry County, you're wrong. I can't. My job is to equip you to go out and to win souls. And we're not alone. There's many other churches that are preaching a good gospel in Henry County. So I don't want to ever give the idea that I think we're by ourselves. Thank God we're not. This story is not an exception to the rule, the dispute that we were talking about. Jesus made it right, and he took a bad situation and he made something very powerful and very good. Instead of one missionary team, now there's two missionary teams going out. I'm so thankful that God takes our blunders and he even restores them. In Philippians chapter 3, again, the writer Paul and the Holy Spirit, he says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. As long as you hang on to who you used to be, you're not going to be able to lay hold of the promise of tomorrow. You're going to have to forget not only your failures, but some of your successes." Because you ever met anybody that was 60 years old and the highlight of their life was high school? And they're still living in that glory days of high school. And I think how sad that is. Let's live in the moment. Let's see what God wants to do with each and every one of us. He says, "I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. I need to forget the past, and I look forward to what lies ahead. And I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ, is calling us." Don't give up. I've got a feeling that I'm talking to a few people that really blundered this week. You did something maybe that you haven't done in a long time. A sin of the past came back upon you and you fell back into it. And I'm saying today, hey, let's get that under the blood and let's get it under the blood right now. And let's move past. You know, what Satan wants to do is beat you over the head with that for about 6 months until you blunder again real good. You know, it's hard to witness to somebody when you're feeling guilty. When you're feeling all the shame of what you have done. I'm so thankful that he doesn't just forgive us of our sins, but he removes the shame of the past. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? First John 2:26-27, "These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you." The anointing that you have received from God is still there. I believe that was a word for somebody. Still there. God wants to use you. You may think it's not possible at this venture in my life. "Well, you don't know what I've done, Pastor." I don't have to. Not even interested in what you've done. Sort of would like to be knowledgeable of what's ahead rather than what's behind. I'm telling you, only God can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Right? All the king's men couldn't do it. But I know there is a God that can. God can take the brokenness of your past, heal it, and make it your ministry. Is there anything too hard for God? No. Now, when you give it to Him, are you willing to give it to Him? You see, every time I bring you to a point of decision, you either have to say yes or no. And I just told you the story about stick because I wanted you to know there's ramifications to your no's, just like there's ramifications to your yeses. When you say yes to Jesus, you're saying, I want all of you. I'm a mess, but you can have my mess. Count me in on the game. Don't leave me out. Remember the old song, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I wish that was our attitude of the church. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. But Satan tells us a different story. He says, well, you may be ready to play, but you're not worthy to play. I want to tell you today, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You are worthy. Don't say no to God. I don't want you to do like stick and let Satan take you for the next 35 years and say, well, who says it's going to be 35 years? Nobody. It could be indefinitely. And it could only be a day. But do you really want to give Satan one day of your life? Come on, look at me. Do you want to give Satan access to one day of your life? No. So my no will turn to yes today. So I say yes, Holy Spirit. I say yes, Holy Spirit. I'm willing to be used by you. I'm willing to go through hard transitions in this life. I'm willing to be quiet when I really want to give a piece of my mind. That may be a work in progress. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? For those of you who've never said yes to Christ, who've never invited Him into your heart, never surrendered your heart to Him, and you're standing there in your sin today, probably with what feels like your heart is going to beat out of your chest. It's like, oh, I wish this guy would shut up and let us go. That's the Holy Spirit saying, now is the time of decision for you. Surrender your heart to Jesus. It's the best thing in the world. Is there anyone here? Would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I won't embarrass you in any way. Would you pray for me? Amen. I see your hand. There's some surrendering I need to do. Amen. I see your hand, sister. Amen. I see your hands. I see your hand. Father, I surrender these things to you because I want your will more than anything else in my life. I want to be that ambassador, the bringer of good news. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you right now. And I pray for these people, Lord, that they would make their no's yeses today. That they would surrender every part of their heart to the fulfillment of the calling of God on their life. God, help us to reconcile this world. God, maybe there's not anyone here today that you called to go overseas, but Lord, we're called to go across the street. We're called to go to work. We're called to make the light of Christ known where we live. I pray, God, that your Spirit would set upon every one of these ambassadors today and that they would take the good news of the gospel out wherever they live, wherever they work, wherever they shop. Help them be cognizant that Christ is in them and they are anointed by God to do what you've called them to do. So we're not just in our own strength, we're in the strength of the Almighty God. And you said that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. God, there's many areas where I'm weak, but I'm so thankful you are strong. And I am dependent upon you. For those who maybe have never surrendered their heart today, God, I pray, let a spirit of sincerity come upon them as they confess their sin, as they confess to you that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. And I say, Lord, as they cry these words, Father, forgive me of my sin. come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. I accept you and I ask that you would accept me today. And all my mess up, be my Lord. I surrender my life to you today in Jesus' name. Now, if that was you, make sure you tell somebody today. Tell somebody, tell a deacon, tell one of the elders, tell me. Tell somebody today, I have given my heart to Christ. You know, the Bible says that when one person receives Christ, all of heaven rejoices. Heaven is rejoicing over your decision to say yes. God bless you. I'm so thankful for your presence today. I pray that you've received the word of the Lord, and that no matter what you're going through today, if you're in a struggle right now, you know that God will carry you through it. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come?
Praise the Lord. I believe by faith that there were lives changed today. Amen. Amen. Dale mentioned, if you're a first-time visitor, make sure that you let somebody know so you can get her a gift. But if you could, if you look in the seat back in front of you, there's a little envelope there. If you're a first-time visitor, we would love for you to fill that out. Drop it in the offering box back there. We want to connect with you. We're going to pray for you, whether you want us to or not, but we want to be specific in those prayers. So right now, let us pray for you. Let us connect with you. If you were one of the ones, if you did receive Christ, there's a spot on that envelope that you can put that to let somebody know there too, because we want to rejoice with you in that. Amen. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, with nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.